This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We are joined by someone whose socials we became immediately obsessed with, Sarah from @thedetour_duo. If you love travel, creativity, or just need a little inspo to take the scenic route in life, buckle up.
I have actually been following Sarah and Tony for a while now, and I absolutely love the playfulness and realness in their content. Their travel vibe makes you feel like you're right there with them, laughing, exploring, and occasionally a little bit lost, and I absolutely love it.
Sarah, we are so, so excited you are here. So thank you again for joining us. But before we jump in, do you want to say hi to our listeners?
Yeah. Hi, listeners. And hi, Sisterhood Tea Party. I'm very excited to be here, and thanks for having me.
Yes, we're so happy that you are here. Sarah and her partner, Tony, are living the travel content creator dream, but it's not all dreamy sunsets and viral YouTube videos. Today, we're talking about the behind the scenes of how she got started, what it's really like working with your partner, and how she takes care of herself even while traveling on a budget.
Plus, y'all already know that we had to throw in a little chaotic game, overrated or underrated travel edition.
So let's get into it.
Sarah, can you take us back to the beginning? What sparked your love for travel and content creation?
Yeah, the love for travel definitely came earlier than content creation. So when I was in college, I did two big study abroad trips. And I think that is what sparked my international travel bug right away. I had done a lot of domestic travel as a kid. I was a competitive gymnast growing up. So we were around, out of state, in the state, kind of everywhere. But those first two trips, my first study abroad trip was in London, and then my second one was in Bali. And those were the first two times where I was like, whoa, the world is so big. This is so exciting. I think I really felt challenged and out of my comfort zone in a lot of really amazing ways. And then the love for content creation, I've always been a pretty creative person. I was a performing arts major in college. So the performance piece, being in front of people, came very naturally. And just the creativity of capturing moments and documenting things came later, but very organically, I think.
Oh, that is amazing that you got to do two of those study abroads. I'm also wondering, like, how long were you traveling personally before you had this moment of like, oh, I'm actually going to make this my life and my career? And how did your kind of goals and vision shift during that time?
Yeah, so we, the Detour Duo was born in the pandemic. So my fiance Tony was in the military. I was working in higher education, which is a job I started right after college that I meant to do for like a year or two. And then I blinked and it was 8 years later. And I was like, oh my God, my 20s are gone. What am I doing with my life? And so it was the middle of the pandemic. And I think I just was getting cabin fever. Like I was not doing something creative. We were stuck in the house. I kind of had this panic moment of like, I need to figure something out. So I had brought up to Tony, who in the military, his job was photojournalism. So his job was to take photos and videos of Navy SEALs and ships and submarine command and all of that. So I had originally presented the idea of like, what if we did a travel blog? And he's like, well, why don't we take my skill sets and do like a YouTube channel? So that was in 2020. Yeah, 2020. And it grew from there. Luckily, we stuck with it because those first couple years in content creation, it's still hard. But the first couple years are very hard when no one's seeing your stuff and you're just like, feels like you're posting into the ether and no one's paying attention or grabbing it, but you just have to get through that hump and keep going. And I'm so glad we did. I don't think we could have without the support of each other, but I'm glad we made it through that growing phase.
I feel like that's a little bit the stage we're in.
It's hard. I was going to say that is a really, really relatable piece, because I think about that even like in my own content creation journey, being able to keep posting and knowing that is anybody going to see this? You know, and I feel there's a lot that are listening right now that they feel that they're getting stuck and they do want to start at the same time. So outside of that, like in addition to what you had just mentioned, like what else kind of helped you push past that phase of, you know, pushing your content out there, knowing that, you know, it's getting lower views right now, but how did you just keep it going? Like, what was your motivation behind that?
I think just knowing that if we didn't keep going, nothing would happen. But if we kept going, there is a chance something might happen. And that's still where we are now. Like, we still have struggle moments of like, why aren't we bigger? Why aren't we getting more opportunities? And it's like, well, we can't stop because nothing's going to happen if we stop. So we just have to keep going. And especially in that first year or two, we use that as like we're going to just practice and post it. But we're going to think about these first couple years as us just learning and growing and getting used to be on camera and getting used to putting it out on the internet. And that mindset helped a lot of like understanding it's not going to be instant virality or instant success. And we can use this time to grow and get better and get more comfortable, which we did, because that first year of videos, I hate going to look back on because they're so cringy. And I just like, oh, but we had to do that in order to get like to where we are now. So just knowing that if you stop, nothing's going to happen. But if you keep going, something could happen. And it's kind of that hope that we keep holding on to.
I love that.
Yeah. Those are some wise words that I need to keep that in mind. So that's really helpful. So now that we kind of know how this all started, I want to kind of talk about, you know, what it's actually like to build this brand side by side with your partner.
Yeah.
It was a learning curve for sure. So Tony and I have been together since 2018. So we were in a relationship for a few years before we started as like business partners, I guess, coworkers. So we had that foundation already. The first couple years, no, maybe the first year or two, we had stark creative differences. He was coming from a background of cinematography and high tech transitions and drone content. And I was coming from a world where I watch like lifestyle vloggers who would just yap at the camera. And so we had very contrasting visions of the content we wanted to make. But what ended up happening is we took both of those styles and blended them into what we have now, which is still very high quality content. He can still do those cinematic things, but it's also a lot more personable and relatable. So it took a lot of learning and learning how to communicate that as well. I think we're in a spot now in our working relationship where we know how to communicate effectively. That was also a very large learning curve. So before our YouTube videos go up, I always watch it and give notes. And so I've had to learn how to effectively give that constructive criticism and feedback in a helpful way that he can take action on. So instead of just saying like, I don't like this part, it's saying what I think is kind of off about it and how we could fix it to make it better. So there's a lot of learning, but it just took like really good communication. And I think it took setting our egos aside too, of, you know, not trying to be sensitive and get our feelings hurt about our passion projects in this business and just being support and also realizing the other person wants the best product too. So just a blending of worlds and a lot of communication.
I love that. It's like you guys are work, like you said, you're coworkers, right? You're working together, you live together, you're traveling together, which is a lot. And I do wonder too, like, what about the joys and chaos while you're actually doing the traveling? Like, you talked about the editing process, but also the filming and just while you're, I'm sure you try to find things to just do together while you're having these amazing trips that are outside of work too.
Yes, which was also a learning curve. So we, especially during the pandemic, we stuck to US travel. And I got very burned out very quickly because our days were so itinerary action packed. And I was like, I still want to enjoy these places we're going to. Like, of course, we need to visit certain places and stick to the schedule and get the work done, but I still want to be able to be a tourist too. And that has helped a lot. So now we have it broken up into kind of half day filming schedules. So we will film, go out when the light is good in the morning, film like a breakfast, maybe an attraction or a museum, and then take like 4 to 5 hours in the afternoon just to veg, nap, like just chill, go to a restaurant just we want to go to and not film. And then maybe we'll go out and film like a night market or something in the evening. So that has helped a lot just with like rest and recuperation, but also if we want to fit in a workout in the afternoon or if we need to go grocery shopping, just finding that balance of filming. We also make sure that we are going to attractions and places that we genuinely want to go to. So not just hitting off what we think YouTube wants to see or what the algorithm wants to see. It's like, oh, we find this particular thing interesting, so we're gonna go do it because we're in this grand location. So just finding that balance of enjoying the place and still being able to be a traveler and a tourist while also getting the work done that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is really incredible. I'm honestly so blown away with the schedule between you filming and figuring out the places you want to go, but also getting the editing and planning done. So when it comes to those roles, like, how do you balance all of that? Like, what does your planning schedule look like? You don't have to go into major detail, but I'm so curious about how you figure out the places you want to go, especially the ones you genuinely want to go. And then who's planning the editing and how collaborative is it to get to that spot?
Yeah, we definitely have clear defined roles in our working partnership, which I think is really helpful. It's still very collaborative, but we have definitely like clear defined roles as far as choosing where we want to go. A lot of it's budget driven. So like, where can we afford to go? What is going to be relatively low cost once we get there? We like to travel quite slowly. We prefer to stay in a place for a month or 5 weeks. So what is going to not break the bank when we're on the ground for several weeks? And then there's a lot of pre-production. I don't think people realize that happens, and it's not something I expected either, because again, I was coming from that like lifestyle YouTuber consumption where I'm like, oh, we just pick up the camera and go. Like, what do we need talking points for? What do we need an itinerary for? Like, and then I think we had tried doing it my way a couple times and I was like, holy cow, okay, this is why we need to plan. But Tony is more so the planner for like where he wants to go. He gets the restaurants, a lot of the attractions. So we'll have that planned out. And then he says the more he plans in the beginning, the easier the edit is, because you can kind of shape it in your mind and know what to expect. But yeah, it's quite open with where we travel. A lot of it's just budget related.
That makes sense. Yeah. And you talked about this a little bit already with like you guys planning time in the afternoon to just like do the things that you want to do. But to get even more personal there, like, what do you guys do to keep the relationship strong while being coworkers, right? Like if you guys have a creative difference, and then what are those things that you do to just make sure that your relationship is strong outside of?
I think a lot of it boils down to like figuring out how to communicate to each other. We are also two people that just like do well in each other's presence, even if we're not doing the same thing. So I learned about something called parallel play, which apparently is like more what children do, but it's when they're like playing with two different toys, but together. So they're not playing together, but they're in the same vicinity. That is a lot of mine and Tony's relationship. Like, we might be watching separate things in the same room, or we're reading different books, but we're in that same room. So we cohabitate very well. We're also pretty naturally introverted. So we don't like suck up each other's energy just when we need to kind of hermit, which is nice. But we've also made a point, especially when it's like, okay, we've been filming every single meal for the past 4 days. I need to eat something without the camera. Like, I need to go somewhere without filming it and just like experience it. So especially when we were in Asia, we would like make sure we went to the movies or went to a market just to experience it and just make that time for each other still. So I think that helps a lot.
I love it. Okay, switching gears a little, because all this travel is a lot. Like you said, it sounds like a lot. So let's talk about how you, Sarah, take care of yourself while on the road. So we've seen the incredible places, the things that you make time for while traveling. But what's your self-care routine while traveling?
Honestly, sleep. Sleep is the biggest thing. Sleep affects how I move in the world. I am such a sleeper. I'm like a 9-hour girl, typically. So anything that's
that.
Like, if I'm like 5 to 6,
I'm so jealous.
I feel like I get sick. I get irritable. Like, I wish I could survive off of less sleep because it'd be a lot more convenient. But sleep is such a game changer. So that's a huge one. Something I'm trying to do now is incorporate more fitness into my day-to-day, which is a lot easier when I'm back in the U.S. We're here in Oregon for the summer, so I was able to get like a 3-month gym membership, which has been awesome. But I realized, unfortunately, when you work out and you eat better, you actually do feel better, which was heartbreaking to realize. So when I'm eating junk and drinking beers when we're traveling and, you know, I'm walking a lot, but I'm not doing that kind of like functional movement, that can affect me mentally too. So what I want to try and do is start to incorporate that more when we're international. I always have the best intentions, but it just hasn't clicked into a routine yet. So I'm hoping with the habits I've built this summer, I can take that on our future trips.
I have
that would be
you,
amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you use ClassPass? We talk about ClassPass.
I was just about to say ClassPass. Yes. I was like, do you use ClassPass? Because I was wondering if it's an international thing.
I don't know. I'll look into that. That's a good idea. I should look into that. I'm not sure if that is international, but that would be really helpful because I'm a class kind of girl. Like I have this gym membership here, but I'm in Zumba 3 times a week. Like I love like a cardio fitness class. So that's definitely something I should look into because I think that would motivate me more too. And instead of it being like, oh, I'll just do my own workout on my own. And
yeah.
No one's pushing
me. I travel to New York a lot for work outside of this, my day job. And so I use ClassPass when I go there too, which is great. I can just pick a class and join it. It's super easy. And then I take a lot of classes locally too.
That's really smart. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's really beneficial. But I'm so curious. Now I want to know for myself if it's an international thing because you just never know.
Time to book a trip.
But I know you. Right. You talked about your self-care being primarily sleep, which honestly valid. And I respect you for that. Other self-care that you've considered, you know, are you someone who likes to journal or are you like on the hunt for like the best type of food in the city? Like when you are kind of on your off days of filming, but still in the same area, like how do you take care of yourself in that way?
Yeah, I'm not a journal girl, I've tried it. I just can't get it to stick. I feel like it would help a lot because I am someone who I'm like a very much an idea person. So I feel like it would help to just like get things out. One of my biggest things, especially the past 2 years since we've been traveling so much, is FaceTiming with friends back home. That has been huge. Like when we're spread across 3 different time zones, me and my 2 best friends, we have one in Seattle, and then my other friend lives in Edinburgh, Scotland. So when I was in Asia, it was like crazy time differences, but we just had to make it work. And that was so grounding to just have like my people that I could still talk to and connect with and share updates with and vent with. That was huge. And we still keep that up. But I think that is, I don't know if that's like a traditional form of self-care, but I think that definitely is part of my self-care routine to keep me kind of grounded.
100% is. Like Stephanie and I just literally had a 2 of our other great friends last weekend and we were like, oh, my cup just fills full now. It's important to have those relationships that you just, people that you know, and like you said, that ground you.
Yeah, especially too, because like I'm with Tony 24/7, but when you're with the same person 24/7, it can still feel a little isolating because we're in places where we don't know anyone else. He's the only person I've like had a conversation with in weeks. So that if I go too long where it's just like, I haven't talked to anyone else in a true meaningful way, it can feel isolating and kind of lonely, even though you're not physically alone. It's like, I just need my people. I need to talk about something else. Like I want someone else to talk. So that has helped a lot.
I love it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, it is time. We like to play podcast games on our podcast. And we're going to do one, and it's a round of overrated, underrated travel edition.
Okay.
Yes. So we're going to throw out a few travel trends, places, or habits, and we're just going to go around and say if it's overrated or underrated. You can give a reason. But yes, we encourage you to defend your answer, especially if you feel very, very strongly about it. Jess and I have talked about this in previous episodes. It can get a little bit fun, let's just say. Okay. So we're going to just dive right in with our first one, packing cubes. Sarah, we're going to start with you. Do you think packing cubes are overrated or underrated?
Underrated, maybe appropriately rated. I think they've gotten a lot more craze lately. I am a big packing cubes user. I'm not convinced if the compression ones are like truly anything special. Maybe those are overrated, but packing cubes for sure underrated, I guess, for me.
Valid. And I agree with that because I'm looking at my compression packing cubes here because I have not unpacked from my most recent trip. And I don't know that they are that compressive. So I would also say overall appropriately rated. I do love them and I actually encourage others to use them, but that is probably where I will stand on that. Jess, what about you?
Yeah, I would also say underrated. I have not used the compression ones. And so I feel like you guys just de-influenced me. And I'm like, well, my normal ones are just fine. I don't need to get the compression ones. That's great.
I like the compression ones for certain purposes. The problem with them is, especially in like Europe and Asia, if you're on a budget airline, they're weighing your carry-on. So with the compression ones, you run the risk of overpacking because you can fit everything all of a sudden, but now it weighs a ton and you're having to pay a bunch. So they're really nice for like road trips or when I'm moving. That was super helpful. But yeah, I think just the normal compression cubes are just fine, or the normal packing cubes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, and honestly, the compression on one of mine broke. So I'm like, is it even really worth it? I don't think it is, but you know, I still use them. So
yeah.
Anyway, okay. Next are tours in general. So think food tours, bus tours, all of those. Do we feel that they are overrated or underrated?
This is really challenging.
The sigh.
I know, because I'm picky with tours. And I think it depends what person you are. I think if I had to pick a side, I will say generally underrated with some caveats. So like love a food tour. I think if you're in another country and you're not familiar with the cuisine, that's the perfect way to dive in feet first, especially if it's like a market culture. Our street food culture, that is so helpful. But Tony and I both are not big. We like history, but we would rather go to historical sites and just kind of wander around ourselves. We don't really retain a lot of that info. So we'll typically skip like when we go to like ruins or something like that, we'll just like kind of wander on our own instead of going on one of those tours. I will say we really like a company that hires locals in the area. It's called With Locals, but we've done a few tours with them in different countries, and that has been a great way to, because it's one-on-one with a local. So you can like get the tour experience, but then you can like talk to them about politics and culture and what the social scene is like and what their experience is. And it's a lot more personal. And I like those are underrated for sure. Like a private tour with a local.
Ooh. I have never heard of that. I love that.
No, me
I love
either.
That.
I'm like taking notes.
Literally, I'm like, okay, yes, add that to the show notes for sure. Jess, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm also going to go with underrated, also with caveats. Agree on the food tour point. Love a food tour. I did like a New Orleans food tour and it was like done by a local. So then she also like told me all the good spots I should go to later. And you just like can't get that. I usually book through Viator and I find that they usually work with a lot of locals. So I love that. But I will not be caught dead on one of those bus tours. And specifically, I mean like the ones with like the open top in London, like absolutely not, like not those tours. So that's my one caveat.
Mm-hmm. All obviously valid. I would say underrated as well for food tours. I will say this is coming from someone who has not really done international travel, so I don't have a lot to say. But I will say food tours, 100%. I love a good wine tour as well. But that's all I have to say on the matter.
Yeah. And something that's really helpful too, which I think a lot more people are doing, is a lot of big cities will have free walking tours. So your first day when you're in the city, it's tip based. So make sure you tip your tour guide. But it's a free walking tour. And it's usually like an hour or 2 hours long. But it's such a good way on that first day of your trip to like get your bearings. They'll kind of point out the big sites. That is very helpful, especially if you're in like a big city like Mexico City or London or wherever. Those free walking tours are a really good idea.
Okay. Love that. I'm going to be adding that to my little list as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, airport outfits. Do we feel that they are overrated or underrated?
Overrated. I look like... Ooh! I look like... is that like dressing up for... the airport? Well,
like, do you have like a designated fit that, yes, oh. Is there like a designated fit
intentionally
that you wear?
Intentionally,
sure, yeah. But it's like right. Not cute. Like it's I want to be as comfortable on a flight as possible, and I'm someone that runs cold on planes, so I could be traveling from a hot place to a hot place, I will have the thickest fuzzy socks in my carry-on because I need to be, there's nothing worse than being on like a frigid cold plane. So yeah, definitely dedicated, I guess, airport outfit, but it's not like a matching like Gymshark, like athleisure outfit. It's like my $12 Target sweatpants and the sweatshirt with the cock stain on it.
I can respect that. I'm laughing because I have a dedicated outfit that I wear.
What is it?
So I've been really into sweat sets. I also run colder on planes too. So I have this really cute Fabletics set and it's this like hunter green hoodie and sweatpants. It's kind of like, have you seen the ads for like the comfort colors or not comfort colors, but like the comfort sweatshirts? They kind of look like that, just not that. Okay. So I'll wear that and then I'll also have another outfit, which is like leggings, a nice like cozy, like not like cozy, but Old Navy has, and everybody knows how much I'm obsessed with Old Navy, but I have these like, oh my gosh, yes. These snug tees I've been wearing, and then I'll wear like a jean jacket or an oversized jacket just with sneakers and stuff. So I think they're underrated. I love a good cozy outfit for the plane. And that's like my go-to uniform for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I respect that.
Thank you. Jess, what about you?
Yeah, no, also would say underrated, but super cozy. Like, I am not going to be wearing, like, jeans on a flight. Absolutely.
One of my sisters like only wears skinny jeans on the plane. Skinny jeans.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. So we have skinny jeans.
Yeah, that's...
skinny jeans on a plane?
Yes. Skinny jeans.
I also don't like how people wear shorts. Because what is your skin doing on the seat? That's crazy.
And it's freezing. Like, how are you not shaking?
It's so uncomfortable. Like, I am, like, actually so uncomfortable when I see it. I'm like, can you please put pants on? I will go get you some from the gift shop. I can't. Like, I don't like it. That's probably an ick of mine. Are shorts on a plane. Also flip-flops on a plane, but I could go on and on. So
flip-flops, Crocs on a plane. It's all too much. I can't do it.
It's too much. It's too much. Okay, next, hostels. Do we feel that they are overrated or underrated?
Underrated.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, and this is coming from someone, I think not like the prime demographic. I mean, in my 30s, Tony's in his 30s as well. But what is underrated are the private rooms in hostels, which is what we do a lot. One of my non-negotiables when we travel is I do not share a room. I'm not in like a multi-bed hostel situation. But what we learned in Southeast Asia was that getting like renting two beds in a hostel was often the same price or more expensive than us just getting a private room in a hostel. So that's been great because then you still get like fun amenities. They'll do like bar crawls and tours for like the hostel people. You can still have that social aspect, but then you can still have a bedroom to yourself.
That is so smart. I never thought about that.
That is really smart. Wow.
So I'll say underrated for that.
Okay, so I This is hard, actually. Like, I'm going to say appropriately rated, but honestly, because I've never stayed at a hostel, and I feel like my ideal self stays at hostels. And, but also, like, to your point about, like, your demographic, whenever I've looked into this, I'm like, you know that sound on TikTok that's like, am I too old to be here? Like, I'm a little bit like, will that be me if I solo travel to this hostel by myself? I don't know, but I want to do it. I'm like, it's on my bucket list to do it. I'm going to do it. But I agree. I feel like I need a room to myself. I'm too old to be sharing a room with anybody. And so, yeah. But I want to do it. So I'm going to say appropriate, and then I can make a judgment call later.
Mm-hmm. I think that's valid. I also have never stayed at a hostel, but I don't know that I would, but I would still feel like they're appropriately rated. I think my ideal self stays at a hotel. I don't know, but that's just, and Jessica knows how bougie I am, but that's just the way that I run. But I also need to understand that I need to be more budget conscious. So I think the smart me would be like, maybe you should stay in a hostel. Like, let's see how this works out. But I don't really have much to say on that because one, I have never stayed. So I don't really have a well-rounded opinion on it. So that's where I stand right now.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say, I'm not staying at a hostel.
I was like, Jessica knows what I'm about to say, but it's fine.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think something that, especially with like how, like with content creation and travel especially, you don't need to fit yourself like in the boxes of what these other people are doing if that's not your jam. Like some people, like if you want, you know, a nicer hotel, you don't need to stay in a hostel just because everyone else is doing it. Or you don't need to go to that one popular thing because everyone else is doing it. I think there's something really profound to like figuring out what you like and then just doing that and staying true to yourself in that way.
Yeah, I respect that. Thank you for saying that. Absolutely. That makes me feel a little bit better. I'm like, oh man, I'm getting a lot of heat
right now. You stay in your hotel.
Thank you. Okay, next we have work from anywhere lifestyle. Do we feel that that is overrated or underrated?
Say underrated, I guess, but it takes a certain type of person to be able to do it. And I think a lot of people figured out if they are that kind of person during the pandemic, when a lot of people got switched to work from home, you realize like if you want that routine or, and if you need people around you in a co-working space, or if you can be self-sufficient on your own. I like it a lot. I'm pretty independent when it comes to that. But it's not for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. Fair. I also think it's underrated. Working remote made me realize, and I've worked remote for a number of years now, and I realized that I don't know that I could fit myself back into a traditional setting. And I love being able to just take my laptop and go wherever I need to without, you know what I mean? Without having minimal interruptions. So definitely underrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jess?
1,000% underrated. I've also been remote since the pandemic. And I think my ideal life would, like, I would be close enough to an office or like our studio or something where I could like go in when I wanted to or when I needed to, but there was no like mandatory. I feel like a lot of companies now are doing this hybrid thing, but it's like mandatory in office these 3 days. I don't like that. Like I want the hybrid where I can choose when to go in, because I do like the social interaction. And I like when I do go to New York and I go into the office, I do enjoy it, but I don't want to be told to do that. And I work really great remote. So I like the flexibility, but I would say underrated.
Yeah, agreed. So when I started working remote in like 2018, I think, and then I went back to an office in like maybe 2019, and I lasted 3 months. And I was like, I cannot be in an office setting. This is crazy. Like, oh my gosh, the idea that you're so much more productive in an office. I'm like, no, if there's nothing to do, I'm just sitting there. Whereas if there's nothing to do at home, I can like vacuum or do laundry or like I can still be productive. And it's, I did not last very long.
100%. I will be the biggest advocate for working from home because I agree with that. I've been much more productive in a working environment while being at home and getting stuff done than I was in an office. In an office, I was like, I don't want to be here. Yeah. But at home, I'm like, I get to be in the car.
100%.
You know? Okay, friends. Last one for today. Only taking a carry-on while traveling. Is that overrated? or underrated?
Underrated, with caveats. the hardest part of carry-on travel for me is toiletries, always.
Yes.
That has been the hardest. And luckily, we travel to, like, places where you can pick up things when you get there. It's kind of annoying to, like, take the time to do that. But that is the hardest part, especially if you're going from country to country. Yeah, so that's kind of the caveat. But I think underrated, but I'm also not going to hesitate to check a bag either.
Yeah. Period. Exactly. Okay, overrated, because I'm checking a bag every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. I will pay the baggage fee. It's all right. It's my ideal self does not check a bag. or does check a bag. Sorry. My ideal self does check a bag. I can't. The carry-on, I have tried. I have given it a fair shot. But I think because I am a chronic overpacker and I love my options, I can't do it. And I feel like a lot of my clothes are just, I don't know. I also pack a lot of bulky clothing and I just can't put that in the carry-on. I'm accounting for my workout stuff, my tennis shoes, all of these other extra things. By the time I'm done, I'm like, throw it in a giant suitcase and just go. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Only taking a carry-on while traveling is overrated because I can't do it. I cannot do it. And even if it's just like a weekend trip, nope, sorry, can't. Because also I'm such a skincare girly that like I'm not going anywhere without all my skincare. And if I have to put it in those little bottles or whatever, it just ends up wasting product because then you can never quite get it all out. And I hate it. So yeah. And also like, I want to bring my perfume. I want to smell good, like the whole thing. So I am checking a bag every time. In fact, I'm like honestly really stressed about, Southwest changes because I fly exclusively Southwest and I know it's been in effect now for a little bit, but my recent trips were booked before that went into effect. So I didn't have to deal with it. I don't even know what those fees are going to be like, but I may have to switch up if they're too high. We'll see.
They should like honor, if you booked it before the changes went into effect, they should like honor it and just
give
you.
Yeah, no, they did.
Yeah. Oh, good. Did. Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. But I'm thinking for my future ones that I book now. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, what is that going to be like? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And is it going to even be like, what's the cost comparison at that point? Like, is it worth flying at that point? Or do you just go to a different airline for, you know what I mean? There's just so many different things.
Yeah. I'm going to have to assess my points system. And if there's something better out there, a different credit card or something, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say it's a lot easier to pack carry-on only if you're going to a warm place or if you're traveling between places with similar climates, then it's true. A lot easier. Like the bulky clothing, winter clothes, that is what is very hard in a carry-on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well that was great. We did overrated, underrated. So Sarah, we always end the show with what we call our last drop of tea for the day. So basically it's just a little bit of wisdom bomb or piece of advice that you want to leave our listeners with.
Yes. So it's really your moment to share truly anything. It could be a lesson from travels, advice for someone who's maybe scared to take a leap, or just a simple mantra that keeps you going. Truly, truly anything. So the floor is yours.
Wow. Something I've been thinking about being back in the US, especially after being gone for so long, is you can have like travel related experiences without traveling. And what I mean by that is I think one of the best things I have gotten from travel is exposure to other cultures, new cuisine, new languages, and especially in such a diverse country like the US. Like I've never had Salvadorian food. And there's a Salvadorian restaurant by my parents' house. And that is such a good opportunity for me to like go and experience something new. I'm experiencing a new food, a new culture, a new language even, and just having those kind of experiences. I'm a big advocate for being a tourist in your own state or your own city. So you can if you want to travel and get these new experiences, but don't have the means or the time to take some big trip, you can kind of like mold something close to home. Because I'm sure there are so many new things you haven't seen where you live. There's probably new cuisines and restaurants and people you can talk to, cultural events you can go to and witness. So try and like keep an eye out for those, because I think that has been my favorite takeaway from travel is just that exposure to things I had never experienced before.
I am obsessed with that. And I, again, I'm taking notes. Thank you so much for being here, Sarah. This was such a fun, honest convo. I'm so grateful to meet you and get to know you a lot more. And now, you know, we all just have to go book the next trip somewhere.
Deal. Tell me when.
Yes. Yes, we got to make it happen. It's truly been such a pleasure having you on today, Sarah. So can you let everyone know where they can find you, follow you, and support all of your work?
Yeah. So we are posting weekly long form YouTube videos on our channel, The Detour Duo. We are on Instagram and TikTok at @thedetour_duo. And those are like the three big places you can find us.
Wonderful. And as Amazing. Always, you can also follow us at Sisterhood Tea Party on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. New episodes are every Wednesday.
Yes. And if you love this convo, leave a review, share it with a friend, and tag us in your next travel story. We'd love to see it.
Until next time. Bye.